So David Creek is now going to read our Bible passage to us, and then David Taylor will come and lead our sermon.
Reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other.
Good morning, everybody. Really good to be with you again this morning. So, fruitfulness on the front line. Luke introduced this to you last week, and as you know, it's a course that comes from London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, and just being used here for a few weeks. And it's my privilege just to bring you part two, which I'll just introduce in a minute. The front line, you might be thinking, what is that? It really depends who you are and where you are. So, if you're at work, I guess your front line is your workplace. If you spend most of your waking hours at home, then it's your home. If it's a community group, it may be that. It may be a shop, a school. Wherever you spend most of your waking hours, that's the kind of focus for this sermon series. And so that's where we're going to be thinking. I also noticed, because I did listen to Luke's sermon online, as I hope you did if you missed it last week, I noticed that there's a prayer card associated with this, and I thought, what a great opportunity that is to be prayed for. So how do they go about it, Luke? If they want to sign up for the prayer card, they get in touch with you, I guess. If you want to be part of that, in other words, if you would like to be prayed for on your front line, all you need to do is contact Luke and ask him to include you on the prayer card, which it sounds like a really nice idea. So fruitfulness on the front line. And this morning, my subject that I've been given is modelling God's character. So I just need to maybe come back a little bit so I can see my screen here. There we go. modelling God's character on the front line. So if your front line is a place of work, actually, could you just show, is that true for anybody here? In other words, how many people are at work? Oh, great, some of you go to work, that's nice. That's always good to see. So if not everybody, obviously by any means, but quite a few of you, your front line is your workplace. If that is true for you, then you may be wondering why I'm standing here this morning, because clearly I don't have a real job. So you might be thinking, what does he know? And that's true in a sense. I don't have a job in the sense that I go out to something and come home for it. As somebody once said to me when I went into Christian ministry, it's more of a life than a job, which is true. However, what I've done this week is I have contacted 12 of my Facebook friends who are in work, in proper places, and asked them to write my sermon for me, really. I just thought it'd be have much more integrity if actually I asked some of my friends what it is like modelling Christian character on their front line. So this morning is less an exposition of a Bible passage, although I am going to start with Galatians 5. It's more a collection of stories, which I hope are really going to resonate with you. I had some wonderful responses to my question of how it is for you modelling Christian character on the front line. Apart from one person who thought I was referring to working with plasticine, actually everybody gave me some wonderful responses. So I'm going to share several of those this morning. And I am going to share a couple of stories from my own front line, because believe it or not, I do work apart from on Sundays. So, passage from Galatians 5. It's all about living our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's message here in Galatians is that the Holy Spirit can do in us what legalism, a slavish obedience to the law, cannot. The Holy Spirit frees us. Let me just check out one or two things about you as we get to this. You can either put your hand up or just nod in answer to these questions. How many of you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Oh, quite a lot. That's lovely. Wonderful. How many of you then also believe that Jesus sits on the throne of heaven? Now, some of you are thinking back to the creed now, aren't you? Okay. So on that basis then, if Jesus is on the throne of heaven, how many of you also believe that he sent his spirit? Some people do. Okay, so that's good to know that some of you also believe in the Holy Spirit. I hope you were here last Sunday for Pentecost Sunday. This is very important as we come to this subject. You might think, why? Because no Jesus on the throne of heaven, no Holy Spirit. No Holy Spirit, no power. No power, not much point in trying to be fruitful on your front line. Okay, so it's really important that we get this straight theologically. That the power of the Spirit, this is what Paul is saying, the power of the Holy Spirit in us is what can produce the character of Christ in us, which is what we're after, I think, in this series, yeah? I think this is what we're about. Producing the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in us on our front lines. How does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us because Jesus rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, Holy Spirit poured out into us, able to produce the character of Christ. That's my theological framework, all right? So just so that you know, I hope it's yours as well. If not, have a chat with somebody, because it is kind of fairly mainstream. So live by the Spirit, Paul cries. That is the way to righteousness. You see, you are free from the demands of the Jewish law, yes, but that is not an excuse to indulge in sin. Instead, it is a call to a different sort of life, a higher life, a life of love. Verse 14, the whole law is summed up in one command. I'm quite glad about that, aren't you? Because there, you know, were 613 laws that the Jews had to learn, and we only have to learn one, or two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Saint Augustine put it like this: love and do as you like. Love and do as you like. It's such a liberating message, isn't it, the Christian ethic? Such a liberating message, but at the same time, such a demanding message, because it's all-encompassing. So I've divided my examples this morning about Christian character into three sections. It's love, joy, and peace, but in reverse order. So I'm starting with peace. I've changed all the names, by the way, just in case you know some of these people, because they are all local. And I did say, when I did it, I said we'll have some anonymity here. So this is Frank. He's a security assistant. He works funny hours. And he said this: the challenges I face in the workplace. When people challenge or mock what you believe as a Christian, e.g., I've told people at work I am a Christian and I refuse to use foul language. I'm either mocked or they have bets on who can make me swear first. Similarly, Mark, an IT consultant, and I've also called this piece, on Tuesday, we were having a particularly rough day. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Anyone ever have a day like that? Especially at work? One of my team came into my office to give me even more bad news and then finished off with, so now what are you going to do? Because you don't swear, do you? It's funny, actually, out of all the people that I surveyed, the men all mentioned issues to do with bad language at work. They all did. It's particularly, it seems, an issue for men, Christian men at work, being seen as the one who doesn't use bad language, and that being something that attracts some level of mockery. What about this guy? Anybody know this guy? This is Gary Grant, the guy who founded the Entertainer chain of toy shops. Is there one in Newbury? I don't know, actually. There is, yeah. There isn't one in Thatcham. There is one in Newbury. So the Entertainer shops, as you might know, are quite famous for not opening on Sundays. It seems to me that the fruit of the Spirit, peace, must have been very strong in Gary to take that financial risk, which has paid off for him, clearly. So those are my examples about peace from the front line. I'll tell you about Evie now, who this is my joy example. This was just a fantastic exercise for me, just to find out some new stuff about people in my congregation. Joy. She said this: so many people always say to me at work, why are you always so smiling and happy? And I think this is because I know the joy of the Lord is my strength, and that in the bigger picture, we are all just one day going to be in heaven, really happy. And that I know the Lord will give me strength to face the day with a happy heart. I want to tell you one more thing about Evie. She invited a friend to come on the Alpha course that we've just done on Tuesday mornings. And this friend said yes. And this friend has now just finished, or we're just about to finish the Alpha course, and has now started coming to church. It's really wonderful. She's got the most gorgeous baby who she brings with her. Anyway, Evie said this about her friend. It was 4 years ago that she said she wanted to go on an Alpha course. And I'm not very church confident at work, so I just said, oh, cool. And then after spending a lot of time working together, I finally plucked up the courage to ask her if she wanted to come. And she said, yes, crazy. This person is in their 20s, you have to understand. So that was Evie. So that was my joy example. Now we move on to the biggest section, which is love. So Karen is a wedding photographer. She doesn't actually make it to church very often because she works a lot on Sundays at weekends, as you can imagine. And she said this: I'm very lucky in that My job is about capturing blessings in people's lives. It's all about recording God's love for us. I like to work with Christian principles such as integrity and, as much as possible, do what I say I will. I'm honest and open in my business practice. I believe that my clients trust me. Even when a client is challenging, I still do that next right thing, as that's what God would want me to do. I attended the funeral of a client's mother recently to show my support and to show that I am more than a business. I am a human being who cares. And then Susan, an occupational therapist who's recently changed her job. She says this: I strive to be compassionate and provide unconditional care for my clients. Regardless of background, behaviour, current state of being, I try to see them as a unique individual who will hopefully be in a better place in terms of safety and care conditions after I've advised and assisted them. In my last job, I was working with a colleague on a shift in which our task is to support people at home after an acute episode, such as a fall or an illness, to prevent them from being admitted to hospital. We had a client who had fallen in her home. She was intoxicated, soiled, and difficult to rationalise with. She just wanted to be left alone so that we wouldn't interfere with her drinking and her life. It took time, sensitivity, patience, and mostly compassion to enable her to come to a point where she finally accepted help to get off the floor and be cleaned up for the night. Now, that just reminds me that sometimes, you know, we don't know what each other are dealing with in our work, do we? And then Stephanie, who is a psychiatrist in our church, she said rather more briefly, I guess I have lots of opportunities to model godly character at work, as my job necessitates empathy, compassion, authenticity, one-way caring and giving, etc. The challenge comes when I'm being verbally abused, doesn't happen that often, or criticised by patients. It can feel personal at times, even though it isn't. It strikes me that to us the fruit of the Spirit sound obviously good. Some of those characteristics sound as if anybody would believe in those. Love, joy, peace. No one's going to argue with that. But we need to remind ourselves that when Paul was writing, it was different. Things like patience and humility and self-control actually are not valued in contexts where only the strongest survive. And many workplaces are like that, aren't they? Where a lot of people feel rather insecure about whether they're going to have a job next month. And therefore, an atmosphere can develop where people are very much out for themselves. And these kind of altruistic characteristics we take for granted, perhaps, in the church, evaporate very easily. I'll bring in my own two examples at this point. We've had the painters in this week at Thatcher and Baptist. And nice couple of guys, father and son. And the father came to me on Thursday and said, do you know what? It has been a pleasant change this week to be in our work and be treated nicely. He said, people where we work, just painting different offices and workplaces, he said, people often treat us really badly. Like they say, that's my toilet, don't you? You're not allowed to use that one. Or he just felt that people often treated them badly. And he said, it is so nice, what a pleasant change it is to work somewhere where everyone is so friendly and nice. And then he said something that really made me laugh. Honestly, he was not tongue-in-cheek saying this. He said, we wonder whether it's got something to do with it being a church. I did try not to laugh at that point, but I did just say, look, our faith is supposed to make us nicer people. So I'm glad if it's worked this time, at least. So that's one of my front lines, is actually quite a lot of people from outside the church come into a church, as they do here. But one of my other front lines that I have is a conversation that I carry on Facebook with a group of 19 and 20-year-old boys. So I knew them when they were in the sixth form in Thatcham, and I've kept up with them, and there's now about a group of five or six of them that are now part of that Facebook group, and we just talk. So they're in various places, various universities, some of them are still here, and they like to talk philosophy. And that's a good challenge for me, to be able to talk philosophy with that age young man, people who are seeking something to live their lives by, are quite cynical about Christianity, but it's very good for me as a Christian minister to have to think myself out of my Christian box and to really man up, really, in those terms. So our front lines are different, aren't they? It needn't necessarily be a place. It could be actually a Facebook group. How are we doing for here, time here? Okay, I just want to tell you finally about Graham. Graham's is the longest, but I hope you enjoy this because I was just blown away by this one. Graham's a Building Society senior manager. I choose to believe that God wants me at the work locations I am at, to be salt and light where I can. Perhaps bravely, I take the opportunity to wear a cross, to speak openly about my church involvement and my faith. When I introduce myself to the new teams that I manage, I take the time to say that I have a Christian faith and I have a value set to match, that I value honesty and integrity, and that I do not expect them to trust me or respect me on day one. I need to earn that by being consistent. What is more interesting is the expectations that my staff then have of me. They assume the typical Dot Cotton type of Christian, spewing judgment rather than love. I find that their prejudiced opinion of how I will think helps me to reset their opinion of Christians. For example, I have managed teams where over 30% of my staff have been LGBT. That's the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. Two specific examples come to mind. Number one, I have had many times where I have needed to fire people or make people redundant. A normal response is, how could you do that as a Christian? And my answer is generally that there is a job to do and I will do it to the best of my ability where it does not conflict with my faith. I have found that treating people respectfully, allowing them to leave with dignity, and showing care and compassion has been how I demonstrate Christ's love. In one case, I was making a Christian redundant. I knew he was struggling at home and with his faith. I gave this chap 3 months' notice of our intention to make him redundant, and in the following 3 months, I met with him, prayed for him and with him, and generally tried to encourage him to seek God's guidance and to rediscover his church. He did so. The church prayed for him, and he ended up leaving the company a bit earlier to go and work at another company nearby. Then, I too moved to that same company. He introduced me to the local Christian Union there, and he was very complimentary to me regarding his return to Christ. That's a remarkable story, isn't it? That's making someone redundant who shares your faith, and how it can all end really well. Number two, second example, was a sad case of the unexpected death of a 23-year-old Hindu man in my team. He was bright, he had a promising future, and he was extremely popular within my team. He'd had a diabetic-induced heart attack from which he had not been able to recover. Worse still, his flatmates, who were also in my team, found him and were clearly suffering trauma. The manager of that area, who reported into me, did a superb job in pastorally caring for the team, and I made sure I was available. I encouraged time to grieve and remember, and I made a point of going to the funeral, which was in London, with the team. The difficulty came a few days later when somebody said to me, "It's okay for you lot, Christians, you're sure he's somewhere better." I thought carefully about my answer, but eventually said, "On the contrary, I'm in turmoil about that. I believe that the only way to everlasting life is through a relationship with Jesus. And I have no way of knowing whether he did or didn't have that relationship. I believe there is only one way, and that Hinduism is not it." The conversation went well. There were no consequences or bad blood. It is something that I struggle with, though. How can I help people know the way rather than just be the token Christian at work? I've got to say, I've learned a whole lot this week through doing that exercise. So thank you for inviting me to speak, because it's been a blessing for me just to have a new insight into some of my friends and what they are at in their workplace. All those people are ordinary Christians, just like you and me. They're all local people at work, doing their best to live by the Spirit of God. And there is nothing more important, is there, than the development of that Christian character in our lives. So I pray that God gives all of us a double measure of his Spirit in this Pentecost season to model it on our own front lines. And we're just going to finish, if this works, with someone who isn't local to here, but is in a different sort of job entirely. Thank you.
I find that a lot of people have expectations of mechanics, that they're swindlers, they're cheats, they fool people into doing things that don't need to be done. We're really trying to change the whole feeling people have about mechanics, that they are trustworthy, they do care about your car, they do care about you, they want it to be safe, they want it to be reliable. And I hope we're accomplishing that in the way we treat people.
Hi, it's a great morning here at Zooms. This is George. Can I help you?
When I became a Christian, I went into the pizza business and then into real estate. And while I was in real estate, I was doing deals all over the world. But then everything fell apart and we lost everything. And the only thing I had left was a automotive business that I had started, and I took over the business. And I was at church one day, and a good friend of mine was introducing me to his father for the first time. And his father said to me, "Oh, you're the mechanic." And I looked at him, and in my mind, I'm going, international real estate, money. And then I just looked at him, and I said, "Yes, I'm the mechanic." I started realizing this is where God has me right now. If something changed, something will change, but I've got to change my attitude. There's a purpose in being here. And as that purpose became more clear on reaching people, talking to people, realizing that there was no separation, what I did at work and what I did at church were the same thing. I'm here to do his will, not my own, and not for my purpose, but for his. So I really started liking it. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day. Keys are in it. Stickers on. You're all set to drive.
Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless. There has to be joy in this. God promised joy. He didn't just promise it at home and at church. You know, he didn't promise financial wealth, but he did promise joy. And if you can't find it 8 hours a day, there's something wrong. And it may just be that you don't know to call on him. I need more than this. Lord, give me joy. This is where God has me. You know, I could be in a prison in Iraq singing hymns unto the Lord because I was preaching the gospel, but I'm here. I love what I'm doing right now. And God has me here, and it provides a benefit to people. And